Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, director of the World Ocean Observatory. In recent editions of World Ocean Radio, I have proposed a new strategy for organizing ocean conservation and related social behavior based on the concept of hydraulic society, particularly in the megacities, where a vast number of the growing world population is now concentrated with enormous impact on climate, watersheds, coastal areas, and the deep ocean. Some have reacted that such an idea is too new, radical, impractical, and expensive. I can disagree, but to convince skeptics, it is better to give examples of the successful application of the concept historically and now. First, the concept of water harvesting and management is certainly not new. In communities where water scarcity is a fact of life, in Asia and Africa, among many other places, the techniques are essential. In Fatehpur Sikri, for example, a 16th century city in Uttar Pradesh, India, home then to a population of 200,000, the design for collection, distribution, multiple uses, and recycling of water collected from the adjacent landscape and aquifer was built directly into the architecture to supply water for storage, irrigation, cooking, hygiene, gardens, fountains, and simple cooling systems. Today, this technology long abandoned. The town population is just 30,000, and water supply is crude and inadequate to the present frequently drought-stricken needs. How then can we envision such a system for a city of 10 million or more? We need only to look to New York City in the United States for a real and compelling example. The city utilizes 4 million cubic meters, or 1 billion gallons, of fresh water per day, collected and supplied from millions of surrounding acres in protected watershed areas conserved as a natural filtration system, the land acquired at a cost of $1.5 billion, but thereby relieving the city from the obligation to construct filtration plants at a cost of $10 billion or more, a saving of $8.5 billion with the added value of the highest water quality and the protection of substantial forest land to promote air quality, sustain plant and animal habitat, provide recreational opportunities, and prohibit additional development and sprawl in the intense urban agglomeration that is New York. The approach has been in place for almost two decades, but requires constant maintenance, improvement, expansion, and new technologies to deal with other associated problems, such as leaking infrastructure, combined sewage and stormwater runoff beyond the capacity of treatment plants, escalating energy costs for pumping and operations, and pollutants generated by manufacturing processes, automobile exhaust and residues, even high concentration of chemicals and salt used to melt the winter's snows introduced into the system after its initial harvest. Thus, New York has continued to invest in additional filtration facilities, one underground with a golf driving range to be built on top, repairs to regional aqueducts, a third major supply tunnel, new and expanded sewage treatment plants, a new ultraviolet disinfectant system for microbiological contaminants, and a major new combined sewer overflow containment basin to hold almost 100 million gallons of untreated water until it can be run through the system after the peak subsides. But the plan has other serious elements. First, to reduce consumption through conservation, to assess and improve the hydraulic capacity of tide gates, obstructed pipes, clogged collection sewers, and storage areas. Second, to capture the first inch of rainfall from 10% of the city's impervious surfaces through street trees, swales, and sidewalks rebuilt and retrofitted, porous pavement for roadways and parking lots, constructed wetlands and parks, captured runoff from schools, multifamily residential housing, new and retrofitted factories, vacant lots, and rooftop collectors, even rain barrels to be provided to low-density single-family houses, all of this coordinated through a multi-agency task force to coordinate planning, mitigate bureaucratic overlap and contradiction, reduce costs of duplication, competitive management and purchasing, and otherwise integrate government agencies with environmental advocates, civic and community organizations. This approach, entitled the Green Infrastructure Plan and proposed as official policy, does represent a huge public investment, over $1.5 billion over the next 20 years, but has been developed in cost-benefit comparison with the other more conventional graywater approach, and is predicted to maximize treatment per dollar invested, reduce operating cost of treatment per gallon, increase capacity through conservation and new forms of collection, extend treatment to volume heretofore untreated, and integrate conservation values, economic efficiency, and public-private collaboration into a new, vastly improved system of water treatment, an instructive example of the new hydraulic society. How does this affect you and me? Remember, every drop of this water, before, after, and forevermore, ends up in New York Harbor, the Atlantic, and the World Ocean, where it, and water quality improved by other megacities around the world following the New York lead, will benefit us all. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is a project of the World Ocean Observatory, online at www.thew2o.net. World Ocean Radio is produced in association with WERU Community Radio, Blue Hill, Maine.